Welcome to Voting Matters, a series of conversations about the voting process from WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Now, here's your co-hosts, Liza Holland, president of the Lexington chapter of LWV, and WUKY's Alan Lytle.
Hello again, Liza.
Hello, Alan. So great to be here.
We have a very special guest in our studio today.
We certainly do. We are so excited to have Susan Lamb, our Fayette County Clerk, here with us today.
And Susan, we thank you very much for your time. You know, you're going to be very, very busy in this lead up to the election. But there are a lot of questions that you can help us with.
Well, it is my honor to be here and to be able to educate our public about this very important process and this very important election that is coming up very fast.
It is coming up extremely fast, and there's been some really interesting developments in the last week we were chatting about, and I'd love for you to share with the listeners about new voter registration applications here in Fayette County.
Yes. As a matter of fact, since yesterday and even last night, we have, in Fayette County only, received over 1,300 new voter registration applications, which is a very much increase. For instance, on Wednesday, we had 480 all day long. And so that tells you that there's a lot of conversation going on out in the community, and more people are stepping up. And now we just want to make sure that they come to the polls and vote.
Well, that's exciting, and it makes me feel so good, because that's basically what the League's mission is to make sure that everybody feels like they are empowered to vote and be an educated voter. So what do you think you attribute to this massive rise to?
I think that the debate probably had some factoring in that. And then, as I understand, there was a tweet by a pretty powerful person that has a lot of connections, and I believe that has impacted it as well. It has been interesting to see the volume, and my staff is excited. We're very, very busy. We have a 7-member staff that is handling the magnitude of everything coming through, and we've had other people from other areas of our county clerk's office to come in and help with this a little bit. But we're going to have to continue doing this, because, as you can imagine, making sure and verifying over 1,300 in one day voter application, registration applications, that's quite a lot of work to do, in addition to answering the phones and just doing the normal responsibility to prepare for our election.
Which is a lot in and of itself. And I have to give a huge shout out and kudos to your staff, particularly Gilda, who has helped me regularly in being able to connect with candidates and all kinds of different things. So please, everybody listening, have patience if you have to call the county clerk's office around something with elections. But I got a chance to chat with her a little bit about some of the frequently asked questions, as it were, and thought that we might kind of go through those and see if we can inform some folks that we can reduce a couple of phone calls. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think so. Yes.
So there's been a lot of kind of confusion sometimes around driver's licenses and what appropriate IDs are. First question was, can I use my driver's license to vote if it has the wrong address on it?
You actually can, because the actual driver's license or any form of ID is just to show, it is actually just to show, to identify yourself, and it's not to prove your address. There's still time to update your address on the voter registration system. You can go in up until 4:30 on October 7th. And so if you need to change your address or update anything about your voter registration record, you can go and do that online at www.govote.ky.gov.
And don't forget that extra dot in there, people, because I have done that. But Google can send you to the right place if you just do GoVoteKY and Google it. So
that's correct. Yes.
That's great. Yeah, I went ahead and did that myself because the league does a lot of voter registration training, and I'm kind of redoing a training thing. So I went through, and it's a really pretty simple process. So don't be intimidated about going in to double check or getting yourself on there to register to vote anyway.
Right. And it's much easier. I think that we really push when we talk to people about these voter registration drives, we really try to push people to go and do it electronically because that process is a more fail-safe process, and it doesn't involve a middle person. And it's just a cleaner way of registering a voter or changing something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me just touch on a couple of other things as far as ID are concerned. One of the questions that we had, we've been seeing a lot of internet memes around the fact that if a driver's license is expired, that maybe they couldn't vote in some states. But in Fayette County, I believe we can, yeah?
In Kentucky, yes. Okay. Yes, because again, we had a situation in November where someone came in and they had had a different address on their driver's license, and so they just were verifying that voter was who they said, and then they asked for their correct address, and at that point, then they were able to go in and verify that they were at the right precinct, unless they're at a vote center, which anybody can vote at a vote center, But there are other forms of ID you can use. Of course, you're not only a Kentucky driver's license, but you can also use a Kentucky ID card. There's passports, there's military IDs, and as long as it has a name and a photo, an ID that you use for a local government, like a Kentucky government, like a local, of course, have a badge for my office, and I could bring that in, and it could be used as well. So
can students do that with their student IDs if they don't have a driver's license? Do you know?
That has been discussed more recently, and I am not certain that
where that fell. No worries. No worries. Yeah. We'll figure that out and make sure to put that out on social media one way or the other. But you would that's a kind of nice segue to talk about voting centers. I'm so excited about the extension of our ability to vote. And we do have some different voting centers and additions and whatnot this year. Can you tell us a little bit about them and when that voters can take advantage of it?
Absolutely. We are so proud of having the ability to have our local libraries, all six locations. That's Central Library downtown. If you work downtown, you can walk to vote. And it's Beaumont Branch, Tate's Creek Branch, North Side Branch, East Side Branch, and the new, brand new, beautiful Marksberry Branch, the Marksberry Family Branch. Early voting is October 31st, November 1st, and November 2nd from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. You can go in to any of these locations. If you're out and about in the community and you want to go vote early, which I hope you do, that you will go and anytime between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. We will have plenty of staff there. And what we actually have done this year because of the additional, it's going to be a larger ballot. We're going to have the constitutional amendments. There's two. And then we in Fayette County have a referendum. So we have added privacy booths at each of these locations so that it can accommodate more people to be able to have their space and their privacy when they get their ballot and then they go and sit down or stand up and fill it out. So, you know, I really want to urge more people to utilize our vote centers. And here is the wonderful thing. If you don't get there on October 31st, November 1st, or 2nd, you can still go to those libraries on Election Day. It's the last day to vote. And you can go, and it is open. They're open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., just like your precincts. So
oh, that's fabulous.
I really want to urge people to go and try out our vote centers. They are fabtabulous. I mean, they're exciting. It's quick. It's easy. Now, mind you, there won't be anything quick about November this November election. It's going to, they're going to be lines. We're going to have people that are going to be having to read through the constitutional amendments and the referendum. So be patient, but just know that we can accommodate a lot more people at our vote centers. And if you choose not to do that, then you can go to your normal precinct. We have 135 voting locations on election day, and that accommodates 286 precincts. We have not removed that. That's still there. We so 6 a.m., 6 p.m. on election day, the last day to vote. Just go vote.
Lots of options there. And I love that you can actually do it on election day proper, too. That is a new thing. I would do a shout out there because I had a question at a table recently. The Senior Center is not going to be one of the voting locations this time, correct?
That is correct. We actually, since November of last year, we have the libraries, there were two or three of them that were going through. Of course, Marksberry was being built. Mm-hmm. And I believe Beaumont and I believe one other of the libraries was under construction. So, but now they're all up to speed and open. And so we feel like that because our libraries do such wonderful representation of our community, and people trust our libraries too, that we felt like that was sufficient and no longer having to utilize the Senior Center nor the Kroger Field going forward.
Super. I think, you know, everything's an evolution, right?
Yes.
know, you test and you figure out what works and what doesn't. And this sounds like an awesome solution. Since we're still in that window, what if people are not going to be in town on election day, or, you know, are going to be vacationing and can't take advantage of that that early voting at the locations?
Right. Thank you for that. There are we have in-person absentee ballot absentee voting, which is 6 days actually, and it's actually held at our office, at the Fayette County Clerk's office at 162 East Main Street. The great news about our in-person absentee voting opportunities for those that are going to be out of they're going to be out of town, or if they've got surgery scheduled, there's many numerous reasons. There are qualifying excuses that you do have to have, and you can go to our website at fayettecountyclerk.com and look under web and elections, and then you can, the reasons on there are under in-person voting options. But October 23rd, 24th, and 25th, and October 28th, 29th, and 30th, between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., you can come to the Fayette County Clerk's office at 162 East Main Street, and you too can vote as an absentee in person on those 6 days.
What if you are going to be overseas and cannot take advantage of any of those things? Do we have some mail-in opportunities?
Absolutely. The good news is that our absentee ballot process, our portal opens on September 21st. We will start mailing out our absentee ballots on Monday, September 23rd. And yes, there are the same qualifying excuses. If you feel like that you cannot make it downtown during those 6 days, or if you are out of state or overseas, you can submit on the absentee ballot portal. You can submit your request for an absentee ballot, and that goes through September 21st through October 22nd.
And so it is a little bit of a tighter window, so pay attention to those dates, folks, and make sure to get your ballots in.
And also make sure that you can, the website is www.govote.ky.gov, or you can call our office at 859-255-8683. But if you can at all possible, go to the website, and it makes it a much easier process, but we're glad to help you by the phone also.
Susan, we have some constitutional amendments on this ballot. Where can people go to see them in advance so that when they walk in the voting booth, it's not for the very first time?
That's correct. And we are really pushing for no before you go. Those are keywords, no before you go. You can go to our website at www.fayettecountyclerk.com, and you look under the elections tabs, and you can actually read the referendum for Fayette County. But in order to read the constitutional amendments, there are two of them. we have a link on there that takes you to the Secretary of State's website, and they have those located on there. So just know that that constitutional amendment is a lengthier one than constitutional amendment number 2, but just educate yourself and just know before you go. Now, we will at the polls, at the precincts, we will actually have some copies, and we will try to be passing these out so that the public can read those before you get your ballot. We are anticipating that there are going to be lines long enough to where we can hand those out, and it'll give you time to answer, to read those. Now, but remember, election officers cannot interpret or provide any help with the questions. So do not ask our election officers any questions. It's really wise that you try to go and look at these before election day or before you ever intend to vote, because educate yourself so you can make the best decision for how you feel about it.
And where can people go to see a sample ballot?
That's a very good question. And sample ballots will actually be ready after September 23rd. And you can go to our website again, www.fayettecountyclerk.com. And under elections, you would click on the tab under My Registration. And you have to put in your address. And then based on your address, it will populate your ballot. Because as you know, with Fayette County and all the other areas as well, we have local races that actually will be different in depending on where you live. So it's very important for you to go and educate yourself about who all's going to be on your ballot so that you can make the best decision. So,
you know, that is so very true. And the League also has a resource for voters called vote411.org, and that is kind of designed to be a one-stop shop. And if you put in your zip code, it will actually give you exactly what's going to be on your particular ballot. So feel free to access that type of a resource as well. You can also get the links right to being able to register to vote. You can find out where your precinct is. You can read more about the candidates. It's kind of designed to be that, again, that one-stop shop, vote411.org. And by at least the beginning of October, we ought to have all the responses back from those that will participate. So that's a great piece. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize what it is that the Fayette County Clerk has to do as far as coordinating these elections. I know you've got a 7-person staff to try to handle all of this work, and that's probably still not enough. But you can you tell us a little bit about what you all are responsible for and how you are serving these taxpayers with the great services?
Absolutely. I mean, if all told, we really never stop working on elections. We are always recruiting election officers on a daily basis, year-round. What most people don't know is that we start out with a list on an election year, on a normal election year for a primary and a general. You actually certify your election officers for both of those elections. But then when someone drops out, you have alternate lists. So we are always constantly taking up people's information that are interested in being an election officer. Just Wednesday, we actually certified the ballots. Once the Secretary of State actually certified the all of the candidates, then that's sent down to us, and then our election vendor, which is Harp Enterprises, our election vendor prints proofs of every single ballot face that we have in Fayette County. And then we have a counting, we have a board of the election staff that the County Board of Election actually approves of this group of people, that they sit at a table and they go through and they proof every single ballot face. That took them a solid day long in order to make sure, because Fayette County has a lot of ballot faces. And so the County Board of Election is another very important part of this process. It's made up of, we have a Democrat commissioner, we have a Republican commissioner. I, as the Fayette County Clerk, I chair the board, and we also have the Fayette County Sheriff, who serves on the board as a member. There are four voting members, and we meet monthly and in order to prepare, or either being preparing or preparing afterwards for the elections. It is a process that since I've been in office a year and a half now, a little over, it has been mind-blowing to me. And I'm so proud of how we handle our office and our elections. We take it so seriously that we just want to make sure that we educate the public about how to get out there and vote, and what, you know, the resources and it's really truly amazing. The other thing is we will, once the absentee ballots start coming in, I believe it is, we can start processing the absentee ballots that we have received after October 14th, I believe is the date. I think it's October 22nd, actually. It's 14 days prior to the election day. And so our election board of county board of election comes into the office. We all sit there. We have a staff of about 20 of our staff members. It includes everybody in the office. It's all hands on deck from our office. And we go through and we start processing, because we're anticipating, we believe we'll probably get close to 10,000 absentee ballots this election. We got a close to 5,000 in the November 23 election, but we expect, with the number of calls that we've had already, we expect to double that.
Boy, that's exciting, but it's also a little bit daunting. And I just always think, when I hear the misinformation out there about things being rigged, or that false ballots are being cast, you have a tremendous amount of systems in place to make sure that doesn't happen, don't you? Would you like to address that at all?
I do. And I mean, I didn't, of course, being the new county clerk, I have learned all of this fresh, with a fresh set of eyes, and I have never been so proud of the processes that we have in place. And it's not just one person doing all this. We have multiple people that are involved in that proof, and that, you know, it's not just one entity. It's a collaborative effort, and we really take it serious that even when we're doing the opening, when we're processing the absentee ballots, we take it so serious that we have party parity. Party parity is something that I think is just, it's mandated in our office. It is. And even amongst our employees, it is. In our office, in the elections department, we have party parity, and we are intentional about that. And so it's really exciting. It really gives me hope. And to be able to have that much integrity in our local elections, to know that in Fayette County, I know for a fact that we are in good shape.
That's fantastic. And, I've got a good friend who has been a poll worker for a long time. And, the system's in place even on the day of. You have some party parity there.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You have people double checking. So this whole call for watching elections, it's already happening.
It is.
So
it is.
That's exciting.
And something else that's really unique, this happened in the November 23 election. We had several people that wanted to come in and watch our process. Now, there is a structure for that. You have to be affiliated, and your candidate can actually send a letter in to us saying that they want someone to come in and sit and to just spectate. And so even during the absentee ballot processing process, that can happen. And so we had a group of people that were, they had hour-long schedules, and they were in and out. And at towards the end of the night, on election night in November 23, they asked if they could watch the end of the night process. And so we allowed them, we were allowed to be there, and we set them in a certain space that was cordoned off. And when they got through watching what we do at the end of the election night, they were in amazed. I mean, they couldn't speak any kind of words about our process and the integrity that is with every piece that we have going on. I mean, our election night process will just blow your mind.
Boy, that's so exciting. And that I love that transparency piece, mm-hmm. that if people have a doubt or there's some seeds of doubt in there, you've been transparent enough to be able to make that happen. So thank you so much for that type of leadership in Absolutely. Your organization.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I have a question about what happens to your ballot once it is cast and the polls have closed. How does the counting take place? And then where does the reporting go?
Absolutely. And that's such an important question. So when you go to exercise your right and vote, and you place your ballot in the scanner, there is a box that sits underneath that scanner. And since we use paper ballots now, that paper ballot actually goes into it's a locked container, and it has what you might equate to a zip tie, except for they have serial numbers and there's multiple zip ties. They are tagged and the serial numbers are written down. We actually are going to be doing this in October at a county board of election meeting. We take the county board members out to our warehouse and we actually go through every single precinct and every single machine, and we sign off on every single serial number that is involved in this election. It's a pretty lengthy process, but it shows you how safe and everything, and the process that we go through to make sure that it is accountable. So when you put your ballot in that scanner, it goes into that machine, into that base there. Also on that machine, there is what is called a V drive. It's like a thumb drive, a USB drive. People would know that. And so at the end of all of the election night, and that's for every single, like the scanners that we use on the absentee ballot processing, all the scanners, every single one of them, are not closed until 6 p.m. on the last day to vote, election night. So every single one has to be tendered at that 6 p.m. on November 5th. And so those V drives are collected. And for us downtown, we will take them and we carry them up to our, we have a room designated where all those V drives are actually brought in. We check them off of every single, we know which ones, what the machines are. We have a checklist, two or three of them, to be honest. And we have those. And then once they start coming in, then those can be scanned into the portal that we scan in at our office. And then we upload it to the State Board of Election and the Secretary of State's website. So it's amazing. I said back in the primary, I walked into the room and I said that there looked like little soldiers sitting on a table, because if you can imagine, you have 286 precincts. So that's, you have 200 and, you know, and then you have the vote centers, and then you have the early voting absentee, and then you have the absentee ballot processing, of which we've had to use two scanners. We might have to use three scanners this time. I don't know. But, and what's other, the other component is that box underneath those scanners, when they are, we bring them back to the warehouse at the day, two or three days or the week following election, because it takes a while to bring all the equipment back, and it is locked down. Nobody is allowed in there except for the election staff or myself, and we have to sign in and sign out for 22 months. Mm-hmm. It is on lockdown. And that way, you know that nobody is allowed in there to compromise those ballots. And then we keep them, even after that, we keep them for another period of time following that.
That's amazing.
And that is in case you're drawn from the post-election audits from the Secretary of State's office, perhaps?
Well, that is going to be a new process this year. And I'm still not exactly sure how that the Secretary of State's, I know that they've gathered information, but they haven't told us how they're going to choose. There's a new process by state law that the Secretary of State is going to randomly choose one scanner from each county, and that is going, there's going to be an audit on that. And it's going to, we're going to have to go into that one scanner. It's going to be party parity. It will be, I'm sure, myself and my board of election, and then probably a couple of staff members. We have to go through and we will have to hand count and make sure that what's on. The other thing on the scanners, there is a strip of paper that prints out a report, and it has the specific information about what is the precincts or the vote centers, or if it's the absentee ballot scanners. It has that specific information, and again, all of the serial numbers affiliated with that scanner for those ballots, and we will have to go through there, and we will have to look and see if that matches up. So that's going to be a new process this year.
And Susan, when we're talking about the electoral process, it's important to point out that your machines, none of that is hooked up to the internet.
That's correct. The scanners that I've already mentioned, each of those scanners is an individual component. It is not connected to anything. Each ballot that is scanned in, it's all self-maintained within that one machine. And the V drive that I explained about, everything is tabulated onto that V drive. And that's what is brought back in and scanned in to give you your vote tallies, your results. So the poll pads that you actually go in and you are showing your identification, you know, I always refer to these that, you know, back in the day we had these big paper register books. And now, of course, it has become an electronic version of it, which is much easier. And it's easier because you can update it quicker and so forth and so on because of the electronic part of it. But those poll pads, they are connected because of the fact that they send the information to the State Board of Election just showing that they are updating that person came in and voted. So that's all that is, but nothing that prints out your ballot or that scans your ballot, none of that is connected to any internet.
Awesome. You know, one of the things that the League really appreciates is our ability to, to help to get out the word. And I want to give you a huge shout out because you've put together a great flyer that we have been passing out left, right, and backwards and had lots of positive responses to. But tell us a little bit more about what you as an office try to do to educate the public and maybe how we might be able to amplify it more.
Absolutely, and thank you for that question. What's so exciting is that I have such a creative staff. We have one employee that came up with this idea for this vote flyer, and it has really been good. We send it out to as many people as we can to get the information out to the public, but what's unique is that there are state statutes. It's KRS 116.046 that requires each county clerk to send the voter registration information to all of the public high schools and private high schools, any school facility that has a 17 or 18 year old. What most people don't know is that if you are 17 years of age and going to be 18 years of age, either on or before November 5th, I'll use this as the example. If you are going to be 18 years of age, you can register to vote now. And here's the other unique situation. If you wanted to participate and be an election officer, we can facilitate one minor, is the way that the state statute references it, one minor that could actually serve as an election officer at each of our voting locations, which is really exciting because, you know, as you want to try to encourage our youth to be more involved and to become more educated about our local government and to be part of the solution, as what I say, is that we can do that. So in the past, we have always, the office has always sent out snail mail letters to these, and we didn't feel like that we were getting any good response, if at all. And so this year we decided, and luckily I was able to connect with Civic Lex and with Fayette County Public Schools, and we've actually sent an email, and I sent it last night, actually. I sent it out to all of the principals at all of the high schools or the senior, junior and senior populated public schools. And also sent it to all of the chairs of the social studies departments, and have even heard back from some of them already. And we sent them the vote flyer, but we also sent them all the information about voter registration and also to share with them about their students if they were interested in becoming an election officer. They will get paid as an election officer if they wanted to participate on election day. Now, I know that they have school on those other the early voting days, but still, I've got some work to do on that one. If we, but, you know, the exciting part is that I try to get out there and talk to as many people. I'm trying to go and talk to the downtown business, you know, entities to try to get them to know more about the access to Central Library because they could actually walk to it when they're to vote and make it more convenient. I'm constantly wanting to send out information to as many people as I can. I'm actually going to start doing some press releases that are not so such a huge volume of information. I'm going to start doing smaller press releases that will concentrate on one specific task or one specific deadline within this structure. And so, you know, it's a constant battle to try to get the information out to the public. And I so appreciate the League of Women Voters and everybody else that is involved in trying to help to get the word out there.
It's always a challenge, and especially in this day and age of information overload, it's like you can't just say it once and have people recognize it, but how to differentiate yourself from the pack and whatnot. So appreciate you innovating that way. That's
yes,
fabulous.
Ma'am. Well, again, I feel like that it's the opportunity to educate our public so that they can make their own decision about how they want to vote. That's fine. I just want them to be educated to know about the process and the resources that are before them so that they can, too, be involved in our process and vote. Just vote.
And Susan, you're one of 120 county clerks. Can you kind of talk about the communication level within the state and your contemporaries in other areas of the Commonwealth?
Absolutely, and that's a wonderful question. This is something, again, that I've learned, that we have the Kentucky County Clerks Association, which we are a member of here in Fayette County. We have monthly meetings, and we have two conferences a year, and of course, our office does more than just elections, but we have every single piece that is focused on in our office, whether it's motor vehicle registration, land records, or elections. We have those state officials that we work with on a daily basis to be able to provide these services to our customers that work with us. And when something new is happening, if there's a new state law, then we have the authorities within the state government, Department of Local Government, all the different areas, Department of Revenue. We have them come in and we go through it and we really try to work on making sure that all 120 county clerks and their staff have the ability to fully understand how that this process needs to be rolled out. And to be honest, I have been so proud to see the collaboration because of the misinformation and disinformation. The county clerks really care about that we try to emulate the process so that it's across the board the same from county to county. Now, mind you, Jefferson County and Fayette County are the two largest counties, but and the way we do things is probably a lot different than some of these smaller counties, but we all still are working to that end result, which is the same. And I'm just really proud that we have such a good group. And of course, the Kentucky County Clerks Association, they have a board, and they have an executive board. And then we have a regional representatives. And so it's a really cool structure, and I really appreciate and value being a part of that. And we learn from each other all the time. So.
And I would assume the things that you're trying in to make inroads with outreach are already being replicated in other counties.
They are, and you know, again, my newness to this position is allowing me to come in with a fresh set of eyes, and I am not a shy person. Most of the time, about sharing if something is really successful, if it really works well for us, then we're not shy of sharing that. And we've actually started some new processes within our day-long conference training days that we have each month, and where we're allowing us to collaborate on different matters as it relates to that, which I think is really going to help. The other thing that we are able to do in Fayette County, because of our population of being over 300,000, there is a national organization that is called Partnerships for Larger Election Jurisdictions. The acronym is PLEDGE. And so we have become a member of that. And while all of our states don't have the same type of voting laws and process, we all do have a lot that we can share, and we have in our office learned a whole lot about being able to provide social media and to try to get the word out and just unique opportunities to address our community members. And we, in Fayette County, we're going to be changing up our website next year. We're going to go to a .gov domain because it's more secure. We've already attained that .gov domain, so we've got it. And then once we do that, we're going to be implementing social media that's all connected into our website, and hopefully in a very more safe structure. But it's going to allow us to do so much more for our community here in Fayette County. And I'm so excited. When I mentioned this to my staff, they said, We'll participate, but not until next year, because it's such a busy year with us. So,
so makes sense to me. I know there's an awful lot on your plate on a daily basis. As you mentioned, you're involved with elections year round.
Yes, yes.
Well, I tell you what, I can't thank you enough for being here, because I have learned several things in our conversation here today. And I know that you do have a lot going on. So I'd like to leave it with, if out of all of this stuff, what are maybe the three things that you would really like people to walk away from this discussion and remember?
Well, first of all, if you are not registered to vote and you're either 17 years of age or older, and if you're going to be 18 years of age before November 5th, govote.ky.gov, go register to vote. And the deadline for that is October 7th. Now, if you're not going to be in town and you just can't get to an opportunity to vote in person, September 21st, that same website, govote.ky.gov, go to that absentee ballot portal and register and request your absentee ballot. And thirdly, please just go vote. Exercise your right to allow your opinion to be heard, because in Fayette County, there is no reason for any one person to not have access to vote at all of the different venues. And if you have further questions, you go to FayetteCountyClerk.com, and at your fingertips, you will be able to get your answers. And if you can't, then you call our office at 859-253-3344, and you ask us your questions.
That is fabulous. Your vote does matter. It absolutely does matter. And thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Susan Lamb, Fayette County Clerk. I know you're very, very busy, but it was wonderful to have you for an hour to talk about these frequently asked questions and everything else about your office and maybe what people don't understand or have questions about. So, again, thank you very much for your time. And, you know, we will see you next time on Voting Matters.
You've been listening to Voting Matters, a podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, or download Voting Matters from the podcast page at wuky.org. We also have links from the organizations and guests mentioned in this program. See you next time for Voting Matters.